Practice test. Listening. Part 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear a physics undergraduate telling a friend about a competition he took part in. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
How did it go at the physics competition in the Netherlands?
I couldn't stay for the duration, unfortunately, due to a family crisis. But the rest of my group did, and the guys did incredibly well. We had lots of resources at our disposal, and that paid off. Anyway, despite being up against some of the best physicists in the world, we came second in the problem-solving category, which was no mean feat considering the opposition. We also won the Best Presentation Award for our presentation on string theory. Well, at the risk of sounding smug, I think that was pretty much a given all along.
What were the other competitors like? Were they from a similar background?
Well, there seemed to be a good balance of males and females this year. Mind you, that's hardly unexpected. That gender gap in physics has been closing for a while now, and that's refreshing. It's usually PhD students who enter. I suppose they've got the necessary expertise, so we were unique in that we're not PhD students. And obviously, many of them were competition veterans. They've been doing this for years.
How did it go at the physics competition in the Netherlands?
I couldn't stay for the duration, unfortunately, due to a family crisis. But the rest of my group did, and the guys did incredibly well. We had lots of resources at our disposal, and that paid off. Anyway, despite being up against some of the best physicists in the world, we came second in the problem-solving category, which was no mean feat considering the opposition. We also won the Best Presentation Award for our presentation on string theory. Well, at the risk of sounding smug, I think that was pretty much a given all along.
What were the other competitors like? Were they from a similar background?
Well, there seemed to be a good balance of males and females this year. Mind you, that's hardly unexpected. That gender gap in physics has been closing for a while now, and that's refreshing. It's usually PhD students who enter. I suppose they've got the necessary expertise, so we were unique in that we're not PhD students. And obviously, many of them were competition veterans. They've been doing this for years.
Extract 2. You hear two friends discussing their TV viewing habits. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
I think that since people have started watching several episodes of programmes back to back, they're becoming more demanding. Hence the decision, I suppose, by many TV conglomerates to dump entire series of certain shows online at a time, rather than drip-feed us episode by episode. I suppose it's all about instant gratification for the viewer. And there's a growing distaste for commercials too, which is bad news for the advertising industry. Research shows that one of the things people most enjoy about streaming shows is that they can either mute or fast-forward through the ads, as opposed to waiting them out when watching a live show.
That makes sense. It does seem that we're in the golden age of TV. For me, soap operas have never been better. They really do seem to touch on the rhythms of contemporary life. I would say, though, that scriptwriters should remember that effective storytelling has to follow certain principles. You know, add some surprise into the mix without being phony about it. There's a love of the bizarre twist nowadays that often isn't even really based on the characters themselves. There's no clear connection. That's a low-grade form of storytelling, I think. Classic storytelling's about people facing some sort of dilemma and dealing with it.
I think that since people have started watching several episodes of programmes back to back, they're becoming more demanding. Hence the decision, I suppose, by many TV conglomerates to dump entire series of certain shows online at a time, rather than drip-feed us episode by episode. I suppose it's all about instant gratification for the viewer. And there's a growing distaste for commercials too, which is bad news for the advertising industry. Research shows that one of the things people most enjoy about streaming shows is that they can either mute or fast-forward through the ads, as opposed to waiting them out when watching a live show.
That makes sense. It does seem that we're in the golden age of TV. For me, soap operas have never been better. They really do seem to touch on the rhythms of contemporary life. I would say, though, that scriptwriters should remember that effective storytelling has to follow certain principles. You know, add some surprise into the mix without being phony about it. There's a love of the bizarre twist nowadays that often isn't even really based on the characters themselves. There's no clear connection. That's a low-grade form of storytelling, I think. Classic storytelling's about people facing some sort of dilemma and dealing with it.
Extract 3. You hear two friends talking about running a marathon. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
How did you rise to the marathon challenge?
Well, the night before the marathon, I thought I was starting to come down with something dreadful, but thankfully it turned out to be nothing more than a few stomach cramps. I fully expected to have a bit of a wobble before it, but I managed to stay composed. Anyway, I thought back to the half marathon I ran last year, and I remembered that feeling of being sure I'd underperform when the day came. And this particular marathon really stirred up a lot of self-doubt too. I think it was a mixture of concern about endurance as well as a fear of the route itself, which is notoriously tough.
I know what you mean. When I ran my first marathon, I found it hard going at times for several reasons. Even though I'd followed all the rules about what to eat and drink beforehand, I just couldn't shake off the craving for cold drinks. I was well prepared, though, and managed to get the pace just right, so I didn't burn out after the first couple of hours, something that many novice marathon runners do. Then they're so disheartened at not making the finish line. How did you rise to the marathon challenge?
Well, the night before the marathon, I thought I was starting to come down with something dreadful, but thankfully it turned out to be nothing more than a few stomach cramps. I fully expected to have a bit of a wobble before it, but I managed to stay composed. Anyway, I thought back to the half marathon I ran last year, and I remembered that feeling of being sure I'd underperform when the day came. And this particular marathon really stirred up a lot of self-doubt too. I think it was a mixture of concern about endurance as well as a fear of the route itself, which is notoriously tough.
I know what you mean. When I ran my first marathon, I found it hard going at times for several reasons. Even though I'd followed all the rules about what to eat and drink beforehand, I just couldn't shake off the craving for cold drinks. I was well prepared, though, and managed to get the pace just right, so I didn't burn out after the first couple of hours, something that many novice marathon runners do. Then they're so disheartened at not making the finish line.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.